This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show, share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming from Judges chapter 5, verse 31. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love you be like the sun when it comes out in its full strength.
That's right. And you know what's funny is it's such a, I don't want to say dated prayer, but it's something that we would never say today. We just like, Lord, just live and let live. But he's saying, God, the people who are against you, your enemies, God, not my enemies, but your enemies, let them perish. Mm-hmm. Let them see what happens when you cross an almighty God. I don't feel like we have enough backbone to really pray that prayer these days. We're like, Lord, just let everybody get along, God, and just let everybody be happy and be at peace, instead of saying, God, show them that you are God.
Yeah. There's actually another line that I neglected to read at the start. It says at the end, so the land had rest for 40 years. Mm. If you're familiar with Judges, they have this cycle of sin and disobedience where they disobey. God sends a nation to overtake them. They're in captivity. They cry out. God raises up a judge. He delivers them and the land has rest. Mm-hmm. And then people fall into that cycle of sin again and again and again. But this verse reminds us that we don't have to fall into that cycle of disobedience.
That's right.
We can, you know, once we have that rest, once we trust in God, once he's delivered us, we can stay in that season of deliverance because of what Christ has done for us. He's paid the price for us. He has overthrown our oppressor. He has bought our salvation once and for all.
That's right. And we want you guys to know that all of these verses that we read on the show are sponsored by the Date the Word app. It's a free app. You can get it right now on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. Download it right now. Got some unsolicited advice for everybody.
Okay.
We're going to do advice no one needed. We're going to do it on a Friday.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do it on Thursday. We're switching some of the segments
around.
Sure.
Keep you on your toes.
Keep you on your toes. This is some unsolicited advice. This is free. This is unlicensed. This is unprofessional.
It's probably unwanted.
It's unwanted too, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I used to be a picky eater, right? Real bad. Real bad, especially when I was a kid. Now I'm getting it twofold with my son. I'm getting exactly what I deserve because my son's a picky eater. But at least he can be kind of strong-armed into eating it. As a kid, I was like, I'm going down with the ship. I'll go to bed hungry. And that continued through my teenage years, early adulthood. If you're a picky eater, okay, and you were kind of like me where it's like, oh gosh, I just really don't want to. Because here in, you know, 2024 or whatever, there's not really a lot of things to make you eat right. You know what I mean? Because like, it feels like back in the 80s, early 90s, parents could be like, you're not getting up from the table until you're eating this. I don't feel like that's really the culture no more. That's kind of what I needed. So here's what I did, and I'm going to give you some advice. Travel to another country. Travel to another country and just expose yourself to all the food that you're scared of.
Mm.
That's what you got to do. And I think you can do that with any fear that you have.
That's
kind of
like rip the Band-Aid off.
Rip the Band-Aid off. You gotta go in, not cold turkey, but you got to go in head first into the deep end.
Yeah.
When I went to Israel in 2019, I was terrified. Number one, I was terrified to fly, but I was also terrified because, like, I don't know what in the world they have over there. I'm going to starve.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? The first night I starved. I was so hungry. I was like looking at all the stuff. I was like, ooh. Brother, ew.
Brother, ew. What is that, brother?
What is that, brother? They don't, when you go into a restaurant, they don't give you a menu.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like this when you guys went to Greece, but
in
like
some places, sometimes we had a menu, but in some places it was just like, here's the food.
You walk into a restaurant, you sit down, and they bring food out and you eat it. And everyone's like, oh, wow, this is so good. So I saw this thing they had, it was called beet ravioli. Very first night, I was like, okay, so it's ravioli with beets.
Yikes.
I don't like beets. But I might can cut it open and scrape the beets out and eat the pasta, right? No, it's ravioli made out of beets.
Yep.
I got the ravioli. It was like, they were like blood red. And I was like, brother,
To your credit, I was there and I got something that I thought was going to be like really good. It was mushroom risotto.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds good.
I thought it was going to be really good, and I love mushrooms.
Yeah.
But it was only mushrooms.
Yeah.
And like three grains of rice.
What is risotto? What is that?
It's like rice.
Okay.
But your thing did not look good. Like
bee ravioli, that's a tough one. I don't know if I can.
Yeah,
I ate one or two and then I was like, okay, I ate enough. Because also there's a social aspect. If you're in someone's country or if you're around a big group of friends and you make it plain that you don't like what's on the plate, like everyone's kind of looking at you. And I didn't want that at all. So I ate enough to be like slide under the radar, put my napkin in it, went on. Didn't eat breakfast the next day, didn't eat lunch. By dinner the next night, I was like hungry as heck.
I believe it.
So I was like, you know what? I got to just down this. Turns out, I love Mediterranean food.
There you go.
I ended up loving it. I was like, I got something with lamb. I got hummus, pita. I got some of they had some like really sweet meats.
Yeah.
I was like, this is actually not that bad. Next morning, I was like, I'm going to try some of this breakfast. I got some of those little cheeses. I got some of the pastries and like mm-hmm. they had really, really sweet meat and stuff for breakfast. No, they didn't have meat. They had cheeses and then they had meat for lunch.
They had fish and stuff for breakfast.
Fish? Right.
I think so.
You can't. No, they did. Because you couldn't have meat and cheese on the same plate.
Oh, okay.
They did all the meats for lunch and they did the cheeses and breads for breakfast. But anyway, all that to say that I don't know if it cured me of picky eating, but it helped a ton. There was an olive oil press. There was one meal that maybe we can talk about later. But.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe if we talk about that later, I was going to say, I didn't want to take up the whole segment, but I was going to ask you to tell them about the gas station.
I don't even know. It wasn't like it was like a gas station that we stopped at and it had like a little kitchen
mm-hmm.
and it was pita, meatballs, which I think were lamb, hummus. Spicy harissa.
Sounds delicious.
It was the best sandwich I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
I was so full, but I was like, I got to get another one. I went and got another one, was eating it, was so full that I couldn't finish it, but I was like, I have to buy a third one for the road. I didn't, but I was like,
I have to buy.
And it was sad
sandwich.
Because I was like, more than likely, I will never come back to this place again, but it was so delicious. We're running short on time. I want to tell the story of the soup. Do you remember the whole thing with the soup, the whole drama over the soup in the olive oil press?
I thought it was good.
I didn't like it, but we'll talk about it when Dr. Shock comes in.
There's your advice. If you're a picky eater, make your way to a foreign country, and then you'll be kind of forced out of your comfort zone.
100%. Yeah, you'll
starve. Do yourself a favor. Don't go to a foreign country and then order, like, chicken tenders.
Because those Israeli cooks are people in foreign countries. They're not mommy. They don't care if you go hungry.
Nope.
And you will.
Like, sorry, you're going to starve. 252-582-5028. Let us know if you've been cured of your picky eating, and what did you do to cure yourself? Or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this. Elizabeth, my darling bride, what would you say is the most beneficial thing you could do for yourself in the morning?
Probably drink an entire pot of coffee when sitting.
I'd say that's a close second. No, the best thing you can do for yourself is to start every morning with a daily devotional.
Only we had one to talk about.
Well, as it turns out, we have two.
Right now, you can unlock the power of daily inspiration, wisdom, and spiritual growth in our devotional series, 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning. Written by our pastor, Dr. Abaddon Shaw, and his wife, Nicole, the 30 Days devotional series is designed to reveal new biblical truths every single day.
That's right, and every day is a new revelation to guide you on your Christian journey toward a more meaningful and purposeful life. You can pick up your copy today from our website, that's clearviewbc.org, or you can grab both books on Amazon, Apple Books, and Audible.
That's 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning by Abaddon and Nicole Shaw. And don't forget, these are only the first two in an expanding devotional series, so keep your eyes peeled for future installments.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here live in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shaw, I want to paint you a tale of woe, a tale of suffering,
okay,
if you will, because we've been talking a lot about David and his Psalm 34 experience, hiding out in the cave, just woe is him. This started as something, as a really helpful advice, which was travel and eat foreign food, right?
Okay.
That's what helped me get out of being such a picky eater. And I built it up as this big, like, thing that you should do to better yourself, but then it reminded me of this really hippo moment in my life where we're at an olive oil press. I think you remember
remember
2019.
That. Yes.
What happened? We go to the olive oil press and they have lunch provided.
Yes.
And in Israel, I think I said this in the intro,
I mean,
in Israel,
we paid for it.
Yes, of
beforehand.
Course. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, there's very few places where you go down, look at a menu, and then order. You just sit down and they start bringing food.
Yeah.
So this place was kind of like that. They had a line you could go through where you could get this really, really delicious sweet bread with like creamy cheese, honey. It was really good. And they gave you a soup. I took one bite of the soup. I was like, oh, this isn't
good soup. Like, it was not that great. Yeah.
And then I looked over at Dr. Shaw and I saw he was like, he understood. So he was like, all good. You good. You good. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going. Just kind of keep this soup to the side. Enter a church member.
Sure.
Who went with us.
Uh-huh.
Will he remain nameless?
I'll say his name. It was Kurt. He's a good guy. Good friend. He didn't do me no favors in this one.
Right.
This is a guy who is a really good-hearted guy.
Who was?
Strong. Who was, yes. Yeah, he's no longer with us.
Right.
And he was a really, really good-hearted guy, newly saved, strong, just on fire for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Zero subtlety.
Yeah.
This was not a subtle man.
He's about as subtle as a cannon. No.
So he saw that I had eaten my sandwich, and I was just kind of fiddling around with the soup, and I kind of put it to the side, and it was full. And in front of the entire staff, in front of everybody, Jackie's up there talking, and Kurt's like, you're not going to eat that? I was like, ah, hey, no, I'm good. He's like, what, you don't like it? If you don't like it, you can get something else. I bet they'll give you another. I was like, hey, I'm good.
I'm really fine. I'm good. Please.
He's like, I'll take it if you don't want it. I was like, yeah, you can have it. He picks up my soup, guzzles it at the table, and everybody's looking at me, and they're like, what's wrong with that? I mean, I liked it. He didn't like it.
Why would you not eat that?
And then I can't stand like all the bleeding hearts people who are like, hey, I don't think he liked the soup. Can we get another?
And I'm
like,
please,
seriously, guys, please stop. That's so infuriating. So I guess my do you remember that whole thing?
Yes, I do. It was kind of weird. I was like, oh, Kurt. But Kurt was... I don't know. Maybe he was tired. Maybe I don't know. He didn't have his smoke break. I don't know what it was,
yeah,
but he was on fire.
He came undone that
whole
trip.
He did.
There was one point where we were in Nazareth. Do you want to tell the story about what happened to Kurt in Nazareth? Because he kind of got his comeuppance.
Yeah.
We got on the van.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there.
He was... So, I mean, we were taking pictures.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get off on the side of the road, mm-hmm. because there's really no other way to do this, but you have these... homes on either side, and then there's this little opening, and from that opening you can see this field,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful because it's not only just a field, but also you see houses on the hillside.
Right.
And that's considered to be, I think, a shepherd's field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is where the shepherds were. I've seen this field from another angle,
right.
from the other side, but this is from the side of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a great place to stop. Hey, guys, we're going to get off here for maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Usually it's like maybe a minute. It ends up being a minute, 2 minutes. Quickly take a picture and get back on the,
right.
on the bus.
Right.
This time I got out. I already knew because I've been there several times.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'll do another picture. I did another picture, stepped to the side, looked around, talked to a few people, talked to the guide, and then got back on the bus.
Yep.
And we're like, okay, let's go.
Vroom, and take off.
Off we go.
Off yep. we go.
Except.
Not Kurt.
Kurt was not there.
And the thing is, typically, you find out that you've left somebody within, like, I don't know, 3-4 minutes. You're like, yeah. Oh, hey, wait. Oh, not everybody's here.
Yeah.
We had to have been driving a good 15-20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, we really, when yeah. I say we left this guy, we like left.
He was
this guy.
Well,
because he was
left.
Sitting in the back.
Yeah. David just sent me a picture. This is what that picture looks like.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. So that's, see the opening right mm-hmm. here.
He was like, is Kurt up there? And he was like, guys, Kurt's not in here. And then we turned around. I was like, he's really not in here. He was having his own cave experience, his yeah. own hippo moment.
His own hippo moment.
Just imagine standing in the Middle East watching your bus drop.
There it goes.
Yep.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Yep. And this is like, I think it's Palestinian territory,
yes. yeah.
Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And was it Nazareth?
It was Nazareth or Bethlehem. I believe it was Nazareth because Jackie was driving, okay. and Jackie couldn't go into yeah. Bethlehem.
So it was kind of like, well, we yeah. just left this American guy in there.
Here we go. See you later.
Yeah. Luckily, he was a big dude, so nobody messed with him. But, yeah. man, golly, I can't imagine.
Came back, he got on the bus, like, well, I feel the love.
I'm feeling the love.
He kind of walks embarrassed.
And then he walks and is like, I'm watching you.
Yeah,
he looks
yeah.
at the driver and says that.
Yeah. He was like, is this about the soup? I can apologize about the soup.
I can apologize about the soup. Well, you know, that's funny. We laugh about it as like a hippo moment. But those of you who are listening for the first time maybe don't understand what we mean. But we've been talking about David and an embarrassing moment in David's life. So,
right.
you know, you hear the high points of David and Goliath and David the king, or you hear the really low moments of, you know, of course, his failure with Bathsheba. But
right.
there was an embarrassing moment that happened as well that we've been talking yeah. about over the past few episodes. So, Dr. Shah, do you want to catch our listeners up, those who are tuning in for the first time?
Absolutely. Saul was after David, mm-hmm. and that definitely put some fear in his heart. He mm-hmm. didn't need to have fear, but apparently it fear came into his heart. And when it did, instead of turning to God in faith and praying, he ran, came to the priest, mm-hmm. Ahimelech, and Ahimelech couldn't help him much other than give him the sword of Goliath, the very person David had killed. And as a little boy, that could have been a great moment of awakening mm-hmm. for David and say, oh, wait, you know, my God who protected me against this giant, this Philistine giant, will also protect me against Saul. But he didn't see it that way. He's like, oh, no, that sword right there, there's nothing like it in the world. And he took that sword.
Yeah.
And instead of walking, coming back to Israel or whatever, he ran towards Philistine territory. I mean, there's a lesson there. When you yeah. have fear in your heart, you become irrational.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he went irrational because he went into Philistine territory and they recognized him. And they told Achish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A king of Gath. They said, hey, look, this David, the king of Israel, the future king, he's here.
Right.
He's here. And when David sees that he has been, his cover has been blown, or I don't even know if he was trying to cover up. I think he was thinking, man, they're like,
they're just going to welcome me in. Yeah.
Yeah. They welcome yeah. me. I mean, come on. I mean, Saul is after me. He's the king of Israel. I am, you know, a fugitive of the state. Enemy of my enemy is going to be my friend.
Yeah.
No. You're the guy who killed our giant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're the guy who put us in this predicament. Oh, you're dying. Mm-hmm. So they take him to Achish, king of Gath. And in the process, David's hippo moment begins.
Right.
You know, for those of you know, the eagle, the hippo. We're getting this from John Maxwell. Eagle are those moments that are like, oh, man, you're the best thing that happened. Hippo is in the mud, just in there, wallowing in the pit.
Yeah.
And so he has a hippo moment where he pretends madness, drools down on his face, on his beard. And when they get him to before King Achish is already frustrated.
Right.
He's like, guys, do I not have enough idiots around here that you bring me another one? Do I need to take him home as my personal guest? What should I do with him?
Yeah.
Right.
Stop. Leave me alone.
They're like, but I thought
I thought it was cool. I mean, this is the
you're
guy,
done.
Right?
You're done. Yeah. Enough. Stop.
So he runs off to this cave. He has his pity party in the cave. He writes. He actually ends up writing Psalm 142, yep. Right. Or is it Psalm 34, or both?
He does both.
Does both.
Yeah, yeah. Because Psalm 142 is sort of the psalm that talks about, and we'll read sections of it. It's like an acrostic psalm, an mm-hmm. alphabetic psalm. Many of us know Psalm 119 is an right. alphabetic psalm, mm-hmm. which means every line begins with one of the alphabets. Mm-hmm. Psalm 142 is also an acrostic or alphabetic psalm.
That's lost on us because we don't know the Hebrew alphabet, but there's a lot of, if you read biblical Hebrew, you know there's a lot yeah. of intentionality behind it.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
It's not just David having a dramatic moment. Like, yeah. There's thought and prayer yeah. that's going into this.
And a lot of thoughts about why he would do that. Why did he write acrostically? Some say memorization, some say order, completeness, ease in teaching. Maybe just, it looks pretty cool to mm-hmm. have them, every sentence begin with an alphabet.
Right.
So we don't know for sure. There's a South African scholar by the name of Ignatius Goose who said this. He said, the author seems to help his audience to cope with adversity and suffering which they experience, contrary to what they as faithful and righteous believers expected. He reassures them that God cares for them even though things may look chaotic and out of hand. On the surface, their experiences seem to indicate that things are out of control. However, if they look beyond the immediate, there is an underlying order, namely God's care. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This order gives structure to their existence, like the alphabet gives structure to the poem. Mm.
This is something beautiful we see in the Psalms, and I think you've pointed this out from the pulpit several times, is that they were not written for David. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's an expression of his emotion and his grief yeah. and his embarrassment, but they were written for community worship.
Right. I mean, you see that in the prefaces that you know, like for the choir master or for such and such. It's more than just David's diary. Like he's right. not just writing a journal entry here.
And one thing I really love that worship culture is starting to do now, and I know this sounds silly, but they're literally just translating scripture straight to songs, which yeah. again, I know that sounds obvious, but I mean, like you look at what the Worship Initiative and like Shane and Shane are doing mm-hmm. with the Psalms. We've done that. We did that. It's not come out yet, but it's, remember Psalm 121, Dr. Shaw and David, myself, we made that into a worship song because they're written for that purpose.
Right.
A lot of worship that you hear on like popular radio stations for consumption is like, this is what I'm going through. And
yeah.
Lord, you're my this and you're my that. And that's great. But there's something very special about we as a people are gathering mm-hmm. to worship. And these songs, these psalms even, are written for that purpose, yeah. for the church.
Singing scriptures, right. singing God's word mm-hmm. in praise to him and what he's done.
And David even shows here that a lot of that can be born out of what you go through. What David specifically went through is now, I mean, Psalm 34 is a very popular, we did it here at Clearview Church, is a very popular worship song, and it's born out of one person's experiences. So there's still a personal element to it, but I love that David is showing that this is a community song.
Yep.
Right, right. So Psalm 142 is also important. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the psalm that, if I can pull it up right here, right quick, yeah. Psalm 142. If somebody else has it before yeah. I do, that'll be great. But if not, I should have it any
I got it right here. Let me get
second.
James.
I have it. Okay. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Mm-hmm. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare before me or for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for me. I mean, he is really struggling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he prays and says, God, in verse 7, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name.
There it is.
The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So, wow. This is what he wrote while in that pit mm-hmm. or in the cave. Mm-hmm. And then following that comes Psalm 34.
I love it. Do you want to Can we read Psalm 34?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do it. Here, let me pull that up real quick. Psalm 34. So it starts, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You want to just do the first 10?
Yeah, sure.
It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. This is the, if you know the song, then you know this is where it picks up. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Are we going to focus on that in the future? But here I want us to understand how much David was trusting in God to get him through this hippo moment.
That's right.
Right? He's sitting in this cave of Adullam, and he is feeling down. He's feeling dejected. And he begins to pray, and he is trusting in God and God alone.
That's
sometimes
right.
God will bring us to that point where there's no other place we can turn but to him.
Yes.
That's and 100%. I hope if you're going through something like that, don't turn here, there. Don't turn to yourself. Don't turn to old tactics. Turn to God and say, God, I give this to you because I want to move past this problem. Help me.
That's right.
And God will help you.
That's right.
I love the end of that passage that you read too, because it talks about, you know, David is going through it. I mean, he's in the depths of his despair. He talks about being in, like, his soul being in prison. But then he says at the end of it, you will deal bountifully with me.
Yes.
That hope, that assurance that God's not done. Yes, this moment is painful, and yes, I'm having to go through it, but God's not done. He's not done writing this story. And even this is going to be a chapter in what God can do.
Well, it's not a psalm about, like, him justifying his fear, or it's not a psalm about him just having this momentary lapse in judgment. Or what we do is, like, I just want you to understand why I made this mistake. If you just understand my circumstances, it may not be right, but you'll understand me. But David is saying, I'm writing this so that people will turn their attention from my problems to God's glory. You know, he wants people to glorify God.
And no wonder those stressed, discontented, indebted people came to him. And he became king over them, and they became mighty warriors like none the history of the world has seen.
Right.
I believe all these other heroes that we hear about in Greek or Egyptian or Syrian or Arab mythology are really a knockoff of these guys.
Yeah. Does the Bible tell us how the men knew that he was in the cave?
I think word got out. Word got out.
If you go to the enemy king's territory and act the way David did, I mean, I think word's gonna travel. Word's gonna travel pretty quick. Yeah. And again, I think, like Dr. Shaw, I think you said this yesterday. It wasn't like this was the next day. Like, some time had to pass for him to journey through this valley, get to that cave, write these psalms. So I'm sure he was there for quite some time.
Right.
You know, we talked a lot yesterday about this idea that God rescues us, and I can't help but think that even David, in all of his sorrow, he was looking forward to this future image of Jesus, who is ultimately our rescuer, you know.
That's right.
And not just the rescuer of the church, but also of Israel, of also God's people, ethnic Israel specifically. That's he still has a plan for them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's several scriptures in the Bible that talk about this rescuing aspect of God. Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will rescue his people from their sins.
That's right.
Luke 2:11, unto you is born a savior, which is really a rescuer, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save, which is really rescue the lost. Acts 4:12, there is rescue or salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be rescued.
Right.
We must be saved. We often say saved, but that word has sort of become a cliche for us.
Yes, true.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
So I would say rescue.
Anytime. And it's kind of sad, but I also love that we, like I said, like, you can read the Greek, you can read the Hebrew, you can read these different languages to see what they mean, because saved certainly is it almost has become a Christian status.
Not a reality of what has happened.
Right. Not where I was and then now where I'm at, but this is like, hey, this is my status. I'm saved.
Yeah, but even just changing that word to rescue, it brings back that sense of like, oh, wow, I was in danger.
Very much
so. I was destined for wrath. I was destined for death. I was destined for separation from God.
Yeah.
And I have been rescued from that.
It also gives you a sense of thanksgiving.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because when you really understand the concept of rescuing, somebody else had to step into that body of water or jump out of the plane or some way, somehow they had to do something and put themselves at risk to save you, to rescue you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. I love it.
That's so important for us to remember. Dr. Shaw, what, we got a few more minutes. What encouragement would you give to somebody who's maybe listening today and they're in that moment where they're like, man, I really just need a rescuer. I need help. I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I need a lifeline.
Yeah. It's not a shame to call upon God to rescue you. It's actually what you're designed to do.
That's right.
To say, God, help me. That's a privilege. That is who we are by our DNA. We are people who are, we are creatures who are dependent on God's rescuing. Mm-hmm. And so don't use it as a last resort. Use it as the first resort.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
God, please save me. Please help.
So good. Not a last resort, but a first resort. I hope that encourages you listening at home and watching on your computer, your phone, whatever you whatever media you use. Look to God. That's what we were designed to do. We were designed to call on Him for rescue. Write in and let us know what you got from today's episode, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in and encourage your friends and family to do the same. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.